Our scripture for study today is 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 16, and we will read and study through the remainder of the chapter, which is verse 21, 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 16, and our topic today is The Bible is from God. We're going to be talking about the divine origin of the Bible. Peter is talking to us about the divine inspiration of the Scriptures. He doesn't use the word inspired or inspiration, but that is the subject of what he's talking about. So let's begin in verse 16 and see what Peter says about this very important Bible subject. He says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." Notice these words. Peter says that we, that is, we apostles, and especially we inspired men, have not followed cunningly devised fables. He doesn't just call them fables or fables that have been devised, that is, stories that have been made up, but he uses this word cunningly because sometimes false teachers are very cunning. Some false prophets have very good imaginations, and that is what makes them so deceptive. That's why they are so misleading. In the first century, there were false prophets who had healthy imaginations, and they were able to concoct ideas and stories and pass them off as religious truth. And there have been people for centuries who have been able to do that. And the sad point is that there are many people who follow those cunningly devised fables instead of just listening to the plain facts of the gospel that are backed up by rock-solid evidence. Peter said, "We didn't follow cunningly devised fables." The gospel was not dreamed up by somebody's wild imagination, and that would have been impossible to begin with. The unity of the Old Testament and the New Testament, with all the prophecies and the types and the shadows and the fulfillment of all of those prophecies and types in the New Testament, all of that is far above man's ability. That is far different from some kind of cunningly devised fable. So Peter says, instead of following cunningly devised fables, he says, "When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ," and that is the first coming. In the context here, as he explains in the next two verses, he's talking about the Lord's coming the first time. And so Peter says, instead of following cunningly devised fables, we were eyewitnesses. We have the facts. We have the evidence, not some long, intricate story with no facts or no proof to support it. So Peter goes into that eyewitness testimony in verse 17. "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." Now, the story that Peter is referring to here is what many people call the Mount of Transfiguration. That's recorded in Matthew 17, as well as other places in the gospel accounts. And in Matthew chapter 17, the Bible says that Jesus took Peter and James and John, and he went up to this mountain, and the Bible says he was transfigured before them, and there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter had the idea to make a tabernacle or a tent for the Lord, and one for Elijah and one for Moses. And that's when the Bible says a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." That's Matthew 17, verse 5. So Peter said, we were there. We saw that. And not only did we see these things, but we heard that voice from heaven, verse 18, when we were with him in the Holy Mount. And because of this testimony, because of this evidence, Peter goes on to say in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Now remember that in this context, in verses 19, 20, and 21, when you see the word prophecy, we're not simply talking here about a prediction of the future. We're not talking about the foretelling of future events merely here when we look at the word prophecy. The word prophecy here means revelation from God that has been recorded, it is written down, and it is called Scripture. So as you look at that word prophecy, don't just think of Old Testament prophecies of Jesus Christ. Think about it in the more general sense of revelation from God. And he says here in verse 19 that we in the New Testament era, have also a more sure word of prophecy. Now, that evidently is a comparison between the New Testament and the Old Testament. The Old Testament was a sure word of prophecy. There was evidence to back it up. There were miracles and there were signs to prove that that message was from God. But the New Testament is even more sure because the New Testament has the fulfillment of those Old Testament prophecies and types and shadows. And it also has the coming of the Son of God and the eyewitness accounts of what Jesus did and what he said. So in that sense, the New Testament is a more sure word of prophecy. And he says in verse 19, on a practical level, whereunto, that is, to this more sure word of prophecy, the New Testament, you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place. That's a very simple illustration. When you're in the dark and you see a bright light, your attention goes immediately to that bright light. And Peter shows here that the New Testament, especially the entire Word of God, but especially the Gospel, ought to get our attention in the same way. We ought to have our attention fixed on the gospel of Jesus Christ just as surely as we would a bright light when we've been in a dark place and we see a bright light suddenly shining. He says, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. When he talks about the day dawning here, he's not talking about the day of judgment. He's talking about a time in a Christian's life when he understands this gospel more fully, when he grows to understand and appreciate that word, that more sure word of prophecy, even more. And so that's referred to as a light shining in a dark place and the day star arising in your hearts when we fully recognize and appreciate and grow in our understanding of that more sure word of prophecy. Now, in verse 20 and 21, then, Peter goes into detail here to talk about the origin of Scripture. He's going to talk about how Scripture came to us. Verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now remember that when he talks about prophecy of Scripture, he's not simply talking about what many people describe as predictive prophecy. He's talking about the revelation of God in the Scriptures. So where do the Scriptures come from? Notice in verse 20 these words, is of. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Before we talk about the private interpretation, we must understand what he means by these words, is of. And that means comes from. So what he's saying here is that the Scriptures do not come from any private interpretation. This is not a verse about interpreting the Bible. Let me say that again. This verse is not about the interpretation of Scripture. It is not about what people do with the Bible. It is about the origin of the Bible. It is about where the Scriptures came from. Peter does not say no private interpretation is of or is made from the Scripture. The idea that Peter is talking about interpreting the Scriptures and that we cannot privately interpret the Scriptures is just the reverse of what Peter is talking about. Because Peter is not talking about interpreting the Scriptures, he's talking about the origin of the Scriptures. He's talking about the inspiration of the Bible, not the interpretation of it. So what Peter is saying here is really just an elaboration on what he said in verse 16. Remember in verse 16 that he said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Well, that, in other words, is what he's saying here in verse 20, that the scriptures do not come from any man's private interpretation, that is, someone's own individual and private intuition. What he's saying is that the Bible writers did not write from their own ideas and imagination and intuition. The Bible is not from the ideas and the thinking of man. That is what verse 20 is talking about. And we know that because of what he says in verse 21. You see, verse 21 is an explanation of verse 20. So when we ask the question, what does Peter mean when he says that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation? Well, we need to let Peter explain that, because in verse 21, he tells us. He says, for, and the word for in verse 21 signals the fact that he's giving an explanation of what he just said. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Now, that's all he means when he says that Scripture does not come from private interpretation. So we have three expressions here in this text that we're looking at, and all three of these expressions basically teach the same idea. And that is, when he talks about the fact that they did not follow cunningly devised fables in verse 16, when he says in verse 20 that the Scriptures do not come from any private interpretation, and when he says in verse 21 that the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, he's saying basically the same thing. He is emphasizing the source of Scripture. Peter is talking here about the divine inspiration of the Bible. And what he's saying is that the men who wrote the Bible did not write it from their own thinking, because, he says, instead of writing by their own will and their own private interpretation and making up stories from their own intuition, he says in verse 21 that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the writers of the Bible, instead of speaking from themselves, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, that is divine inspiration. That is what we mean when we talk about the inspiration of the Bible, because these men were guided by the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And there are other verses in the Bible that point to this inspiration that the Holy Spirit gave these men. In John 16, verse 13, Jesus said, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Notice the word guide. That is what the Holy Spirit did. And in 2 Samuel 23, verse 2, David said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. So the Holy Spirit was behind the inspiration of the Bible. And this is the great truth that Peter is talking about here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21.